Okay, this is basically the gypsum morphology and taxonomy work group presentation for this afternoon. We'll be covering the title that I've presented during my abstract, but also a few other things as well. But I want you to know that Tom and or myself and Nelson Rowlong are the co-chairs, and we've got really good representation across the western states, including Arizona. They're not listed here, but we've got a representative from Arizona that I failed to put on this list that are dealing with these issues. And good participation also from our cooperators, as you can see. We've had several teleconferences, and we're fortunate enough to have a workshop in Lincoln sometime in August, I guess it was. And we spent a week basically just going over the issues and arguing and discussing and agreeing and proposing various charges that we should pursue. Just last week I got to thinking, well, we all have a feel for what the distribution of gypsum soils are in the country, but I got to wondering just how many active soil surveys do we have ongoing at this point in time, and how many gypsum affected soils are there that they're faced with. And you can see right now folks are out there actively mapping 4+ million acres, and they're due to be completed by no later than 2010, some next year. So we've got I wouldn't say a crisis on our hands, but you know, Wayne asked, what are we doing to get this implemented so the people in the field can begin to use this? And you know, from a management perspective and a National Cooperative Soil Survey perspective, we need to provide these folks tools and a fairly short turnaround so that they can go through their correlation process, applying consistent standards for describing, classifying, and interpreting their soils. So we're kind of tied into a lot of things here. We know that these soil surveys are coming to completion. We know that we've got NASIS being updated periodically and the keys to taxonomy proposals being made. So we need to move along those timelines so that we make sure we get the choices available in NASIS and the taxonomy side of our charges addressed. Probably by, I would say, no later than spring of this year. So we're kind of where the rubber hits the road committee. These are basically our charges. There are several others, but these are the significant ones that we're working on at this point in time. They're not necessarily prioritized, but I would say the first dozen or so we've moved forward on and have at least the first set of proposals. Primarily in terms of the textural modifiers, terms used in lieu of texture, some gypsum forms, and we've discussed that a lot here, so I may be a little bit redundant, and I'll brush through those real quick. And coming up with a different term for these cementation rupture resistance classes for these highly gypsic, petrogypsic horizons that do not indicate any kind of bonding agent as far as the cementation goes. We've talked about terms we might use. Petorupt is the one that we've got currently on the table, but other suggestions have come along the line, like fused or interlocking, agglomerated, other kinds of terms. So we haven't settled on anything at this point. So if any comments or recommendations you might have during the discussion period, we'd certainly entertain those. And we're pursuing the horizon nomenclature, the YY suffix at this time. We don't really we feel like anything more than 50% gypsum in the horizon would constitute a YY, but at the same time, we feel like there should be some pedogenic evidence that it is secondary gypsum, and we haven't quite worked out the criteria for that at this point. Okay. We know we're going to have to propose substitutes for particle size classes, strongly contrasting particle size classes. We're proposing changes to the gypsic mineralogy class, and as you've seen in some of the prior presentations, We've got some issues with the alluviation, the various processes that we're discussing in our narrative parts of the of taxonomy for as far as the petrogypsic and gypsic horizon goes. And we likely will be proposing some criteria changes with regard to the petrogypsic horizon. Really, the three things I'd like to present, issues that we've moved forward on the morphology side, are the forms of gypsum that we'd like to propose, some textural modifiers, and where we would like to call the break from which we would apply terms used in lieu of texture. And then also on the soil taxonomy side, we've made good progress on substitute for particle size classes and gypsic mineralogy class. And you know, these are kind of the key things that we could populate into NASA's in a short turnaround and have something there for the folks in the field to correlate. So that's where we're kind of focusing on this stuff at this point in time. I just one more would like to bring your attention to the header up above. If you write that down, that'll be in a few of the slides as I go. That is a public FTP site, and if you go to the gypsum directory, we've got subdirectories of all our work group committee charges, teleconference notes, trip reports, some images, and things like that. So if you want to kind of see how we're progressing, I would welcome you to peruse that site at any time. These are our current shapes for concentrations that are non-redoxomorphic, and they fit the bill pretty much in the silicate, aluminosilicate world. We plan to propose, and you've seen examples of most of these during the prior presentations, lenticular, nest-like, pendular, rosette-like, as far as shapes go, gypsum coats, and crystal clusters. I don't see any reason why we couldn't propose this fairly quickly to the NASA's folks to get these added into their choice list. If you know, we can agree on those terms, and it seems like we have universal acceptance with those. Nest-like is a form that we really haven't quite defined at this point in time, but it's still being discussed. The yellow doesn't show it very good on the screen there, basically what you're looking at are two forms, a cluster of lenticular gypsum crystals within the matrix of that particular PED. You can get an idea what they look like, and you've seen this image a couple of times already. And you know, gypsum coats on these vertical PED faces. Yeah, with a 10x lens, these are basically what the lenticular form looks like. There was a 20x. Here's an example of a reticulate gypsum mass, which we're adding, and thread-like gypsum masses. Vermiform might have been another term that folks have used in the literature. Here's Doug Merkler's excellent pendular form on his rock frame. I don't know if you're going to get that back, Doug.
No, you can have that. I think actually we're going to work on getting a soil modeling of that profile. We're going to 3D the whole profile.
Oh, good. And the rosette-like form that Wayne Hudnall has contributed. Okay, this is where we're at this point in time. We've pretty much agreed that 40% is the break between, you know, the aluminosilicate world versus the gypsum world. Tom had that great cross example on that one graph where they crossed right at 40%, and that was the first time I'd seen that, so it's kind of refreshing to see that, because our committee has agreed that 40% would be a fairly somewhat arbitrary at the time, but a pretty good break. So anything less than 40% would have gypsiferous modifiers, like in this case 1 to 15% gypsum would be a slightly gypsiferous loam. 15 to 40% would be a gypsiferous loam. We went as far, we kind of screwed it down at 1%, not 2%, not 5%, and it really it's based on Nettleton's earlier studies where he found documented failures of open irrigation ditches, delivery ditches, with as little as 1%, and so this is what we have at least are proposing at this point in time for the low end for slightly gypsiferous. You get more than 40%, then we're suggesting two classes, one in which the fraction is dominated by fine sand, size, or coarser, and the other would be dominated by very fine sand, size, and finer. And we're not talking about just the gypsum component of that of material. We're talking about the total particle size distribution at this point, because we feel like that's what's driving the system in terms of behavior. It would be the total particle size distribution. Coarse gypsum material and fine gypsum material. These are the terms you'd see in a profile description and populated in map unit components, and that would be published in soil survey reports, the morphology side of things. And we chose the 40 based on the, this plot of all the lab data indicating that at approximately 40%, the 15-bar water starts to flatten out, and beyond 40, it's pretty flat, pretty horizontal. And we thought, well, that's pretty arbitrary selection at the time, and plus there was also some literature about 40% affecting being a good behavioral limitation as well. But it's kind of nice. It's arbitrary. At least at this point in time, there aren't a lot of samples that we've run through the lab between 35 to 40%. So it's kind of a nice clean break. So we're happy with 40. This would be what the coarse gypsum material then would look like. Dominantly, in this case, it's well over 40% and gypsum, and dominated by medium sand, coarse, and very coarse sand. Another example, I think Doug had this in his presentation, the sugar gypsum being the white crystalline particles, and then the silicate types of minerals as well. Okay, now let's just shift gears to the soil taxonomy side. What we're proposing for particle size classes is that any content less than 40%, ignore the 15, I'm just not as good at PowerPoint as you guys are, but that really should say for particle size classes, anything less than 40% or up to 40%, we would just use the standard particle size class. Any control section, particle size control section, that has a weighted average of more than 40% gypsum, we consider that moving into the gypsum dominated world, and particle size no longer applies in its conventional sense, and that we would use these substitute classes. And we've pretty much mirrored the same criteria as in the term used in lieu of. We're using a different name. Rather than coarse gypsum material, we're proposing coarse crystalline. And this is the first proposal. It's not anything we're really dead set on. Any other kinds of comments or suggestions you might have in terms of a different term, we're well open to suggestion on that. Dominantly fine sand sized and coarser would be the coarse gypsum. And again, it is the same as the term in lieu of coarse gypsum material. Kind of give you an idea how we're trying to walk across the morphology into the taxonomy side of things. And the fine crystalline then would equilibrate to the fine gypsum material term used in lieu of. Okay, and for gypsic mineralogy, we're proposing now two classes for mineralogy. Right now we've got gypsic mineralogy in the system. And you recall that allows it requires gypsum plus calcium carbonate to exceed 40%, 35% of which must be gypsum. And we just feel so strongly that we need to parse out and eliminate the carbonate component in this mineralogy, because the carbonate behaves so differently. It's got a significantly different solubility. We don't have the same kind of behavioral problems as Bob presented in his presentation, with substance piping, et cetera, that we just would prefer not to even discuss or allow or require any kind of a carbonate component in our gypsic mineralogy classes. So rather than the greater than 40% requirement as it is right now, carbonate plus gypsum, We're dropping that down just for the gypsic mineralogy to 15 to 40, and that's not too much different than the gypsic mineralogy class now, because more than 40% carbonate plus gypsum, 35% of which is must be gypsum. Well, 35% of 40 is about 16 or 14, so we rounded off to 15%. So it's really, you know, we're not dipping down below the current minimum requirement for gypsum by using the 15% to 40. We would then require any other soil with more than 40%, greater than or equal to 40% gypsum would be hypergypsic. Okay, so there you have that. Key questions, basically, you know, we discussed this. In lieu of an adequate lab procedure for quantifying particle size, we may have to come up with another quantitative definition for these, because, you know, we just can't write into taxonomy the apparent field texture is coarse. You know, we've got to have something to sink our teeth into, maybe 15 bar water or some of the other research that's ongoing at this point in time. And this is kind of a categorical statement across the board, not just in our gypsum soils, but we have biological soil crust, chemical crust, mineral crust, throughout much of the desert southwest and other parts of the country as well, that we just have not established good protocols for describing these kinds of crusts in the soil survey manual. And so it's something that we probably won't be able to do in the short term, by 2008, but it definitely is something we need to pursue and take seriously. In addition to the micro highs that Doug discussed, or maybe it was Phil, the micro high here on this blister, if you look at just the biological soil crust, there's a lot of degree of roughness to that surface, and we need to provide the field a better quantitative or semi-quantitative approach to describing the surface roughness condition as well. And lastly, we're talking about, do we need on these highly gypsic diagnostic horizons, you know, the gypsic horizon that has, let's say, more than 50% gypsum, would it behoove us to propose another diagnostic horizon and perhaps call it hypergypsic for those gypsic horizons with more than 50% gypsum? And that's something that was proposed back during the ICOMID, International Committee on Iridisols, but was not adopted by soil taxonomy because it felt that we were handling the gypsic mineralogy adequately enough at the family level, and so that was not adopted. But it's something that we still, you know, now we're discussing gypsum, we need to discuss. Decide where we want to go. Hopefully we'll get all this worked out and presented for final recommendations during the National Cooperative Soil Survey regional meetings next summer. So that's how we're trying to implement this whole thing. Okay, any questions?
You look at the schedule here, our next thing is what's called a panel discussion, but really what that is an open discussion. So we have time, if there's any questions for Tom, we'll start with him and then open it up to the other speakers and any comments from anyone else in regards to the topics that we covered or items that we need to look at and so forth. So are there any questions for Tom?
Yes, an observation.
Gypsitic?
Yeah.
For diagnostic horizon?
No. For some material that has gypsum. No matter
okay.
How the origin is.
Okay. I'll make that note. Okay.
No, it is in the official WRP.
Right.
And these are very good, well, this is one thing, but a very good thing is that, but as I know, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And approaching to different taxonomies. So it's converging.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Right, right. Yeah, I think WRB, they do suggest a hypergyptic horizon. There's no necessarily a criterion behind it at this point that I've been able to review. But the one thing that the WRB has that we, or does not have that we have, is the family mineralogy. And so we're able to sort of, you know, so it's sort of like a juggling act. Yeah. Carl?
You know, these proposals have some pretty significant impact on taxonomy and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
We used to have the old international committees and so forth that worked through these and field trips and that. I'm wondering, are there any provisions being made to have this reviewed and looked at internationally before we would just accept it at, you know, through this process and the regional conference?
I can't speak for the coordinator at this point, you know, for the task force, but we have not. I mean, it'll be available through, you know, the proposals will be available through the taxonomy committees, and we have not, actually. We're sort of on the fast track, and we hate to, but we do know how it will impact the soils in America. You know, we've done some analyses on the series that are currently less than 5% gypsum, and how they would classify them, which series would be impacted. Well, we'd be glad to include you in on the work group.
Well, we have a problem with densics in the northeast and stuff, where we can't really name the hardness and call it cemented because it's not cemented, therefore.
Right.
You know, we've had problems with people's cementation.
Right. Well, we're not, at this point, we're not proposing a change to the procedure for a cementation class. We'd still take the air dried fragment and immerse it in water, and that part that doesn't slake we would conduct rupture resistance on. We just wouldn't refer to the term cemented. We would probably use something else. But they would still have to resist slaking, unlike the densic material at this point. Arlene? Limits that are being proposed for the various how soon can we get that done? I mean, we do have, well, I guess without being too flippant, we've got this timeline we're faced with, and we also realize that there are various thresholds, regardless of whether you're dealing with, you know, interpreting how a plant is utilizing gypsum versus some of the interpretations we're dealing with. They all have different thresholds. So just because we say 40% doesn't necessarily mean that the interpretations are driven by those kinds of class breaks. And I think I would offer the same thing for trying to correlate gypsum percent to plant communities. Set them up as you see them and define the map unit accordingly and classify it with the broad groups that we're recommending. That's my that's my short answer anyway. But I just don't know that we can answer those questions in a short period of time. You know?
Are there more questions specifically for Tom?
Jim?
I guess we were talking a little bit, but these thresholds you're thinking about, are they field observable or things that they can actually describe in the field that determine whether or not it's above or below 40% or whether it's fine sand versus...
We feel that utilizing the apparent texture approach, we feel like we can make the coarse fine separation. As far as looking at a profile and saying I know how much gypsum is there, you know, just by looking, Lynn Loomis might be better at answering that. He thinks is he around? Oh, there you are. That you might be able to tie that to color. But you're going to have to use reference samples and things to develop that relationship. Otherwise, you can at least confirm that you have gypsum using the tool or the test kits, or at least sulfates, I should say, using the test kits. And then after you get the lab data back or running gypsum, equivalent gypsum percentage, et cetera, back at the office, then you can assign the appropriate modifier that way. But Lynn, you've seen some correlations to color.